Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh,
yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Wednesday on BNE. That is right. We will drag you up over the hump. A long work week continues, but a lot to talk about. Busy, busy Wednesday morning. And no Bucky Godbolt today. The Buck is probably taking off right now. Right now. He told us yesterday he had to be at the airport at 4 o'clock for a 6 a.m. flight. Back to Pennsylvania. Bucky heading back to see his family. Hadn't been back in several years, 3 years now, because of the COVID pandemic, and going to get a chance to see his family. He's the oldest of 8 children, and, of course, his sisters and brothers back in Bethlehem, PA. He'll get to hang out with them over the next several days. So we'll hold down the fort here on B&A Show of the People. Launches right now. Appreciate you being there, live, local, and digital. However you find us, on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always at hornfm.com. Also, on our Twitch channel, which is up and running, say hi to the camera. You can watch our program on the Twitch feed at hornfm.com on your smart speaker. However you find us, we appreciate you being there. It's going to be a fun Wednesday. A lot going on. The Olympics, great day for Team USA yesterday over in Tokyo. NBA free agency, the whirlwind continues. Major League Baseball, what a scene last night at Dodger Stadium in L.A. with the Astros making their return to the Dodger Stadium, the hated Astros. That was quite a scene. Didn't have a playoff atmosphere last night there. We'll get into it. And, of course, football conversation. Training camps continuing in the NFL on the eve of the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night in Canton, Ohio. Dallas Cowboys will play in that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, college football now 31 days away to the opener for the Texas Longhorns. We are at number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. And, well, let me just say there is a burnt orange flavor to the 18th-ranked team in our countdown to number one. Might be a lot of Longhorn talk today. I will tell you that as we get this thing rolling. No Bucky Godbolt, but Isaiah Collier is here. Appreciate him doing. Zay, how you doing, man? You ready to roll, you and I, with a great guest lineup this morning? Good conversations throughout the course of our 4 hours, but appreciate you being here as well.
Always ready, E. Got my McConaughey shirt on today for our number 18th spot, so
yeah, man.
Feeling pretty good.
All right, all right, all right. You absolutely do. That's how we'll do it. So, yes, no Buck this morning, but great guest. Ari Temkin will join us at the bottom of the hour. Of course, he a fixture in the 6 o'clock hour when we need some good Texas conversation. Of course, Ari with the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. We can ask him a Cowboys question, but also focusing on the Longhorns today at number 18 in our countdown. Ari, of course, the host of SiriusXM's Big 12 Today, talking college football. So he'll be coming up this hour. Next hour, our buddy Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters will join us. A big game tonight out at the Q2 Stadium. The Austin FC will host the Houston Dynamo in the first matchup of those two rivals in the state of Texas. Dynamo making the trip up 290 from Houston to Austin for that game at the Q2 Stadium. We'll talk to Glenn and more great guests throughout the course of a Wednesday morning. Going to be about 90 degrees today. The cooler temperatures continue. Pretty incredible. Muggy and humid, but still, we'll top out about 90 degrees on this 4th of August, which is well below our normal for the dog days of a Texas summer as we get this thing rolling. Let's start with your headlines, your trending topics, as we do to start each hour here on the first three. Get you caught up on the news of the morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And we'll start with that Major League Baseball from last night. And, well, just an absolute playoff feel at Dodger Stadium last night. The Houston Astros, the hated Houston Astros, making their much-awaited trip to Dodger Stadium, full of drama and tension. Houston, of course, first trip to L.A. with fans in attendance since that sign-stealing scandal. And, of course, the 2017 World Series. Well, in a twist of fate, Lance McCullers, who started Game 7 of that series at Dodger Stadium, was the pitcher last night for the Astros, and McCullers was outstanding. He and three Houston relievers combined on a 5-hit shutout. Houston gets the win 3-0. Game 2 of that quick 2-game interleague series will be tonight. Max Scherzer will make his Dodger debut there. That one should be fun as well. Rangers got beat by the Angels last night 11-3 up in Arlington. In the NBA, the exodus continues out of San Antonio. Spurs have completed a sign-and-trade deal that is sending their leading scorer last season, DeMar DeRozan, to the Chicago Bulls for Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, first-round draft pick, and two future second-round selections. DeRozan's departure follows Rudy Gay, who signed with Utah. Patty Mills signed away with the Brooklyn Nets, so they're running out of San Antonio at this point. L.A. Lakers continue their free agent spending spree. Since acquiring All-Star Russell Westbrook ahead of free agency, Lakers have also now added 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony. I've also added Kendrick Nunn, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, and Malik Monk in the first 2 days of free agency. Golden State Warriors and their superstar guard Steph Curry have agreed on a new four-year, $225 million extension. Big day for Team USA at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, with USA reaching the semifinals in baseball, women's volleyball, and women's basketball with victories. They continue to roll. In track and field, another thriller, this time in the women's 400-meter hurdles. That's where Sydney McLaughlin edged out fellow American and 2016 gold medalist Dalia Muhammad to win gold and break her own world record in the process. Just edged her out. U.S. medal count now stands at 76 with 25 of the gold variety. And in the NFL, Minnesota Vikings have released their 2020 first-round draft pick Jeff Gladney following the former TCU star's indictment on felony domestic charges in Dallas earlier this week.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so quite a night of baseball in L.A. We'll talk some Astros Dodgers. That was fun last night. I stayed up late to watch most of that game. I'll admit I fell asleep as it got past 11 o'clock, but Astros held on for the victory. But Isaiah Collier, or the L.A. Lakers are throwing money around like crazy. Are they any better? I mean, the Lakers won the championship in the bubble, a couple summers ago, or one summer ago, and now here they are reloading around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Russell Westbrook, a lot of people wonder if that's a fit or not. He likes to have the ball, doesn't shoot very well. LeBron likes to dominate the ball. Do they have enough shooters? And now they add 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony. What do we make of what the LA Lakers are doing in free agency?
Well, they're mature as hell.
They're old.
That's for sure. They're old, man. Like, when you got Carmelo, 37, Bron, 36, Marc Gasol, 36, Ariza, 36, Dwight Howard with his third stint with the Lakers.
How old is he now?
35.
Dang.
Wayne Ellington, 33. Kim Bazemore, 32. Russell, 32. And then you got Anthony Davis, the young buck, who has many miles on his body at 28.
He's like the oldest 28-year-old in the world, isn't he?
yeah, he's mad old. So are they better from their 2020 championship team? Nope. But are they better from last year's team? Yes. So it's going to be interesting, like you said, E, with Russell Westbrook and his lack of shooting. What will it look like in the playoffs? Will they make the playoffs? Absolutely. But once you get in the playoffs, it's a different game. It slows down and, you know, you get exposed. So I think this might happen to this Lakers team. But if they still stay healthy, then who knows?
Well, LeBron's still LeBron, and this year was odd. LeBron didn't want to study this. He was the most vocal that they were starting the season too soon after the bubble and COVID, and they compressed too many games into too short of an amount of a time without the downtime. And, of course, injuries were a huge storyline in the NBA this year, including LeBron, including Anthony Davis. But, it's almost like LeBron just wants to play with all his buddies on the way out. I mean, there's word in L.A. that, you know, he and Anthony Davis got together with Russell Westbrook, who lives in Los Angeles, and kind of concocted this whole plan. Even whether it fits or not, they're going to have a good time. And here comes Carmelo. LeBron's never gotten to play with Melo. That's not international basketball, so they get to play. It's almost like a last hurrah for LeBron. I don't know how many more years he has left, but the Milwaukee Bucks are the champion, but there's not a dominant team in the NBA right now. That is interesting. What are the Spurs doing? They're rebuilding, apparently.
Completely.
Completely, right? Completely. If you're a Spurs fan, you're like, what is happening? What's left for the Spurs at this point? DeMar DeRozan to the Bulls, and Patty Mills, as we mentioned, off to Brooklyn. Rudy Gay is out. Greg Popovich is over there in Tokyo coaching Team USA in the Olympics. The Spurs are dismantling their roster.
Patty Mills is the last member of that championship team in 2014 that was a part of this Spurs roster. Now he's gone. They're completely revamping. And, yeah, it seems like if you're Greg Popovich, why would you come back to that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the question, right? People kind of wonder if Pop is long for that position. Is he in for the rebuild at his age? Speaking of old, he's been around a while and has a chance for Team USA to maybe find a gold medal here as they play Australia on Thursday night in the semifinal round. They seem to have found themselves over there in Tokyo. Team USA, Kevin Durant has poured it on. They're playing really good defense. So Pop has a chance to maybe bring home the gold. Obviously, they're the favorites, prohibitive, to bring home the gold. And if he does, what's he coming back to? What's he coming back to in San Antonio, where the team in Texas that is on the rise are the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic. And, of course, Slovenia is into the quarterfinals. They're continuing. They play France in a big game over in Tokyo here coming up to try to get themselves into the Final Four of the Olympics. And, you know, the Mavs, well, they haven't done much. I mean, they re-signed Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, the Mavericks are still trying to put pieces with their new head coach, Jason Kidd, around Luka Doncic, who was seen as the best young player in basketball. The Mavericks haven't done much so far in free agency with their new general manager, their new leadership team in Dallas. They need to find, you know, more than just Kristaps Porzingis to build around Luka Doncic.
Yeah, they're in a very tough situation. And Luka being the face of the league, you would think that more players would want to come play with him, but I don't know. It's very interesting, but we'll see how Jason Kidd looks with this team this coming up year, and hopefully they could be a good, hot recruiting spot.
All right, so there's some NBA. Weird to see Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, like an old aging all-star team out there in Los Angeles as they went through all the ages. These are some old dudes. It's shades of, remember when the Lakers, gosh, they had Gary Payton and Karl Malone and that whole crew at the back end? There was a year where the Rockets had Charles Barkley and Scottie Pippen and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, 99, that year was terrible.
I mean, these are just aging stars. But again, you know, LeBron has seemed to defy father time for a long time, but we'll see. That seems like a very old team. But the NBA, it's fantastic, as they say, with all the free agent moves of the last couple of days, 24, 48 hours into free agency. Coming up bottom of the hour, we talked to Ari Temkin. It's Horn Top 20 countdown time, and we're at number 18. And I'll go ahead and break the seal. We're talking Texas Longhorns. And I want to ask you, Isaiah, and I'll ask the people here. Love to get the show of the people audience involved on the Specs text line. You know, we talk Texas football most of the time, and today we will spotlight Texas at number 18 in our countdown. And I do know when we gathered for our Horn Top 20 roundtable a couple of weeks ago out at the great spot in Leander and kind of kicked around, just, you know, brainstormed, talked about it, who belongs. One of the big debates was, should Texas be in the top 20? And I know at the time I said, I don't think they should. I don't know that I can put Texas in the top 20 just because of the question marks. I know they were 7-3 a year ago, three close losses, and, you know, won a bowl game, impressive in their bowl game. But for me, there were just too many questions. You see, I mean, obviously, everything we do in a top 20 or a, you know, some type of preseason poll is going to be speculative. It is guesswork, and you're just trying to, you know, make the best guess you can, educated guess on who's going to be good in college football. But you try to eliminate question marks, right? Who's got the fewest questions? Typically, I mean, when we get as close to number one as we will, as we count down. But for me, Texas, just there's just so many questions, and too many unchecked boxes at this point. That sure, if they all fall positive at quarterback and the offensive line comes along and they find some go-to wide receivers, you know, to go with Bijan Robinson in the running game, defensively you feel pretty good, but at the same time, you know, the secondary still gives up too many big plays. Who's going to play linebacker? They've got four transfers in, a new defensive coordinator and scheme, new coaching staff. Do you think the Longhorns belong to be in the top 20, Zay, at number 18? That's where they are. The consensus was of all of our Horn prognosticators and personalities that we would drop the Horns here at number 18. But the question is, should they be in a preseason top 20 based on all the questions?
I would have had them top 25. Would I have had them as close as 18? I don't think so, because I have the same questions as you do and everybody else, especially with the quarterback position. I think that's the biggest one there. Like, we still don't know who's going to be taking the snaps of September 4th, but we do know that we are talented all around. It's just a matter of how are we going to put that talent on the field to make it the most beneficial. And with, you know, we got Pete Kukowski at the defensive coordinator, I know he's good, but he still has his work cut out for him with what we've seen these last few years on the defensive side. And clearly Sark and the offense are going to get up and run and hopefully give him the ball to Bijan Robinson. But I like them at 18. Would I put them there? Probably not. Probably around 22, 23, 24.
That's exactly where I had them. You know, when I sat down with a pen and paper and kind of went through the top teams in each conference, the top teams around the country, I kind of had Texas just outside the top 20. But obviously for conversation purposes, to have Louisiana at 20, which we did on but by the way, I probably would have had, and I did on my own little pen and paper, well, we had Louisiana at number 20 to start the countdown on Monday. I probably would have had Texas at 20 and Louisiana at 18 just because Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, finished 15th in the poll a year ago. You know, both of these teams finished in the top 20 last season. Longhorns finished up with that impressive victory in the Alamo Bowl, and that was the end of the Tom Herman era at Texas. Louisiana, of course, coming in here in 31 days to face the Longhorns. Yesterday, we had Indiana out of the Big Ten. So Texas at number 18. We'll take your thoughts on that. And obviously, preseason polls don't mean much. It's fun for us. It's a good way to spotlight these teams and really, you know, drive some conversation on the college football season, but also for you, the audience, and you, the folks that, and you get to learn about these teams. We always have great guests to preview them and get to know them a little bit, like we did with Indiana yesterday and their head coach Tom Allen, and Louisiana. We had two great guests talking about the Raging Cajuns, and you know, Longhorns we focus on quite a bit. We'll talk about it. We'll ask Ari Temkin at the bottom of the hour from Sirius XM and Big 12 Today his thoughts. We'll also ask Ari about the Cowboys, how the training camp is going, and we can ask Ari about what went on at the state capitol yesterday or 2 days ago with the Longhorns and the move to the Southeastern Conference. But mostly talk Texas football, because it is that time, Zay, because with all the, you know, the distraction of the move to the Southeastern Conference, all the media coverage that has come from that, and to be expected, there still is a football game for the 2021 season as a member of the Big 12 31 days from now, and it's a big one. I mean, I don't think there's any, you know, big season, I should say. I don't know that there's any doubt that the bold move and the visionary move I think that Jay Hartsell and Kevin Elteif have taken to move Texas into the Southeastern Conference, to see and read where college athletics is going and try to put Texas into the best spot now and into the future. I don't think there's any doubt that that move puts a bigger spotlight on Texas this year to perform, to play like a team that can stand up to the rigors of an SEC schedule, to build on what went on with Tom Herman. I think it does ratchet up the pressure on Steve Sarkisian and his coaching staff to put a really good product on the football field this year.
Oh, you think Texas had a bullseye on them before? Think
sure.
Of the scope on the sniper now, man. It's ridiculous, especially with, everybody being surly on how the exit is looking. Like y'all talked about with, Big 12 refs and whatnot, it might be a little interesting. Ooh. On how these officials make these calls throughout the season. And we might see some very suspect calls, and it might be because a lot of people are salty that Big 12 is now no longer.
Well, there is a couple of developing stories on that, and it will be interesting. Bob Bowlesby did put out a statement. You know, the student athletes it'll be fair, it'll be equitable, but it's we'll see. And unfortunately, as we talked about a few weeks ago up at Big 12 Football Media Days, it's a big year for the Big 12. I mean, even though it's dissolving, I mean there's an opportunity with Oklahoma, who some think could be a national championship contender, Iowa State. With Matt Campbell and company, Steve Sarkisian at Texas, and what they're doing. But you're right, you hope those kind of things don't go down. But developing stories on the future of the Big 12, a couple of them. One, our friend Max Olson over at TheAthletic.com reported yesterday, he was the first to report that Bob Bowlesby was meeting with the commissioner of the Pac-12 yesterday on the heels of his appearance at the Texas State Capitol at that 6.5-hour-long hearing on Tuesday. Bob Bowlesby had a meeting, according to TheAthletic.com, and then others confirmed it, with the Pac-12 about some sort of merger potentially with the Pac-12, but it sounds more like a scheduling alliance more than anything else. And the other, and we'll look into that a little bit more here as the show goes forward, and I'll ask Ari Temkin about it here coming up. The other story, and this one will be something that Ari can chew on too, reports out of Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, from folks who cover the Jayhawks, that a potential Kansas move into the Big Ten is gaining momentum. I'll get you the report here coming up, but that Kansas to the Big Ten, which we, you know, when this all originally went down, when Texas and Oklahoma announced their intention to leave, you know, we talked about Kansas. Kansas is the third highest revenue producing program in the Big 12 currently, behind Texas and Oklahoma. They're a third. You know, their football team is a mess, but their basketball program is, you know, top three nationally and historically great and generate a lot of revenue. We're with Bill Self in basketball. There is a fit there. I said to you folks and was told that, you know, the Big Ten would kick the tires on Kansas, but they were concerned about the current scandals in and around Kansas, right? The Les Miles mess, Jeff Long, the mess they left at football, just how bad the football program is right now. But again, there is reporting that the momentum for Kansas is growing into the Big Ten. So we'll keep an eye on that. And obviously, and by the way, one of the reports I saw suggested that an official announcement of Kansas to the Big Ten could come down in the next couple of weeks. Now, if that's true, and again, it's just a report, if that's accurate, then that's the end of the Big 12. I mean, Bob Bowlesby can say what he wants, but if Kansas bolts and announces they're leaving for the Big Ten on the heels of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, there is no salvaging the Big 12 at that point. If your top three revenue-producing programs are out, you don't have a conference anymore. You can say what you want about Baylor and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and TCU. If your top three bolt and make it official, this thing will not last beyond 2021. I mean, the whole thing will dissolve and everyone will find a new spot and the Big 12 will not exist if that does come down, in my opinion. And we'll ask Ari about that because Ari Temkin, our guest coming up here at the bottom of the hour, is a Kansas graduate who happens to work for SiriusXM and for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. So it's an appropriate conversation this morning. We'll ask him what he's hearing from the Lawrence, Kansas front. But if that's true, meanwhile, you know, Bob Bowlesby trying to work with the Pac-12, and we've told you about the challenges of the Pac-12, where the Pac-12 does not typically, or as a conference, affiliate with religious-based schools. It's kind of just the way they've operated. That's why BYU has never been invited to the Pac-12. Even though they're in that region, and it would seem to make some sense as they were expanding, went to Utah. You know, there's TCU and Baylor with their religious affiliation. Would that prevent or be a stumbling block towards some type of Pac-12 Big 12 merger, or, you know, getting those two together? But at the same time, the Kansas story becomes a major story on the conference realignment front. We'll talk to Ari about that. We'll talk to you about it as well. Specs text line, 512-337-3776. What say you with the Texas Longhorns, ranked at 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown? Do they belong in the top 20? Do you feel good about them as a top 20 team this season, as we're now 31 days to the start of the college football season? We'll talk to Ari Temkin coming next here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Indeed it is. B&E with you. Bucky, though, not here. Bucky is headed out. Got on a plane at 6 a.m. this morning. Should be airborne. Headed to Pennsylvania. Visit his family. Hasn't seen them in several years now. Pandemic has kept him away, but he'll get to visit them this week. So we'll hold down the fort in his absence. We're also counting down the top 20 teams in college football. Talking conference realignments. And, boy, the Olympics, pretty good stuff there. We've got the NBA free agent frenzy and good baseball last night. Houston Astros and L.A. Dodgers got together, and the Astros were thoroughly vilified by the Dodger Stadium crowd the entire night. By the way, the largest crowd to see a baseball game this season was last night at Dodger Stadium. Almost 53,000 fans on hand to lustily boo and jeer and heckle the Astros, but the Astros got the win 3-0. So there's several top stories, but as we do each morning now, all the way to number one, we're counting down the top teams in college football.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 18, the Texas Longhorns.
All right, there you go. Our first spotlight. Of course, the spotlight almost always on Texas here on this show and on this station. But we do have them at number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. Louisiana was 20, Indiana 19 yesterday, and Texas at 18. And with that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and bring to the air our friend Ari Temkin from SiriusXM and that great show Big 12 Today. Also covering the Dallas Cowboys for the Fan Radio in Dallas. And, gosh, working for OrangeBloods.com now as a contributor. This guy is the hardest working man in media, our buddy Ari Temkin. AT, how are you, bud?
Doing great. Yeah, the Cowboys play a game tomorrow, believe it or not.
I know. Hall of Fame game at the high school stadium there in Canton, Ohio. Let me start with this, and thanks for doing it. You know, we had the debate, Zay and I, before the break. Does Texas belong in a top 20? You know, we kicked that around when we were, you know, putting together our top 20 countdown that we do here in August every year. And it was a pretty, you know, lively debate. Does Texas belong? A lot of, unchecked boxes, a lot of question marks, quarterback, new coaching staff, so much there. But do you think Texas is among the top 20 teams in college football as we start this season?
You know, it's a good debate. I guess I would say, you know, so me personally, I was pretty high. I've been pretty high in the Longhorns. I actually picked them to finish second in the Big 12 this year.
There you go.
I do like what Sark brings to the table in terms of, you know, being matchup oriented as an offensive, you know, mind. You know, I think that's what you need to be in modern football. And so, I mean, it's not about how many plays you run. It's about, you know, running less plays but doing them more efficiently with, you know, different formations and different personnel packages. And I think that's what he does. And I also think the timing is perfect with, you know, a running back that I picked to be the offensive player of the year in the Big 12 this year, and Bijan Robinson. So, yeah, I mean, certainly you could argue, you know, there's a lot of teams that have established quarterbacks, and that's the name of the game here. And you know, and I'm excited to see what manifests itself between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. And then, you know, defensively, I think there's some talent there and certainly some question marks. I think you can make a good case for Texas's top 20 team here this year. But, you know, I think it's just so interesting to me, you know, mentally this will do to this team, you know, and I think for both Texas and Oklahoma, you know, is there an expectation that this is their final season of the Big 12? And, you know, what does that mean? And you know, what will it look like on game day? Obviously, you know, Texas always has a target on its back, but, you know, even more so now. I just think that whole, you know, mental psyche of leaving the conference, ugliness from the rest of the teams that could play out. I think that's such an interesting subplot to this season.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's funny when you saw the schedule come out, and we've talked about it before, what the events of the last 10 days or so, you know, that trip to Arkansas seemed like it was going to be, you know, back to Fayetteville and Fayetteville and all the rivalry. Well, that's going to be tame compared to a couple of weeks later when the Longhorns go to Fort Worth to play TCU, right? I mean, it's, you know, it might be a little more friendly because they're going to be, you know, joining the Southeastern Conference in Fayetteville week two than it will be in Fort Worth in week four.
Right. And what I find to be really interesting, too, is could there be incidences that sort of allow Texas and Oklahoma to go to court and say, hey, we need to get out of this contract for fear of our safety.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer and understand sort of the particulars of that, but I mean, who knows what it could look like this year. And certainly, you know, that could be an argument that could potentially be made. So it's almost like if you're a Big 12 schools, you have to, you know, we want to get paid out. You know, we want to make sure we're getting our money, because that's kind of seems to be what's playing out right now is, you know, hold the line for these Big 12 schools, like hold the line as much as you can until 2024. And that's when, you know, either Texas and Oklahoma leave and pay us out, or they stay here basically against their will, and we're going to get paid on that TV money until then. So, yeah, you wonder if there are incidences where, you know, they can go to court and basically say, like, we fear for our safety being in this conference. We need to get out of this contract early.
Yeah, you do wonder. It's going to be ugly. And, I think we on the ground here feel like, you know, they're going to try to get out as soon as they can. And one of the elements there, and Ari, I teased it with you, that you are a Kansas graduate, as your university where you went to school. And there's a report out there this morning, and I don't know how valid it is, and I don't know where you are on it, but there was a story that an insider at Kansas named Mike Vernon reported on a radio station in Kansas City that his sources say that it's imminent now that KU is headed to the Big Ten and likely to be announced within the next couple of weeks. You know, obviously, if that were true, that would be another, you know, nail in the coffin of the Big 12. KU, the third highest revenue producing program in the conference. You buying any of that? That Kansas could land in the Big 10, or do you think that's a lot of smoke?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know Mike, and you know, he has good sourcing. He was the first to report that that Travis Goff was going to be the hired AD. He was the first to report Lance Leipold as the coach. So he's got some good sourcing. You know, there was some sort of miscommunication on what he said versus what people reported he said. Mm-hmm. So he had to clarify. And so, I mean, he said nothing to the effect of it, you know, being imminent, despite the fact that that was what was reported that he said. Look, I think that there's so much jockeying going on right now. There's so many conversations. You know, I think ultimately what I've heard and what I think is that there are bigger fish for the Big Ten, so to speak. You know, that they, you know, they want to have conversations with Notre Dame. They want to have conversations with USC and you know, and some of the, you know, maybe bigger name programs, especially from a football standpoint. I you know, there's so much in terms of like, and this is such an ugly time period where, you know, it's just, there's so much ripping of different programs and, you know, it's just such an ugly time, you know, as teams try to make their case, you know, for admission into different conferences. I mean, Kansas is a AAU accredited university. That seems to be one of the Big Ten's sticking points. Obviously football is not, but from a basketball standpoint, does that transcend how bad they are in football? I think that there is pretty good value for a couple of Big 12 schools at this point in time that, you know, if it does break apart, that, yeah, that Kansas, I think, would be okay, whether it be the Big Ten or I think the ACC would also be a good landing spot for them, especially from a basketball standpoint. I think Oklahoma State would certainly have some suitors. I just think at this point for Kansas, you know, are you jumping ship for the Big Ten at a cost of $80 million like Texas and Oklahoma? And is that option readily available? I just think there's so much jockeying with the Big 12 meeting with the Pac-12, with conversations being had across the country. Everybody's trying to position themselves in the best situation, and I would guess Kansas is probably more of a plan B for the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be interesting because, I mean, my theory, Ari, is if Kansas were to jump and find a spot, you know, there won't be a Big 12 to pay the rights fees to. You know what I'm saying? The exit fees, I think Texas is prepared to pay them if they need to, but at the same time, there is no conference. If it dissolves or, you know, morphs into something American Athletic or whatever over the course of, you know, the coming year, then there really isn't a conference to be beholden to, and there is no, you know, the contract with ESPN is not there. We shall see where this goes, but obviously there's a season coming. Let me ask you on Texas, since they are number 18 in our countdown, you mentioned, you know, you picked Texas to finish second in the Big 12, which is lofty, ahead of Iowa State even, and just behind Oklahoma.
Very lofty.
It is, but, you know, look, they were 7-3 a year ago. Tell me about your thoughts on the quarterback, because obviously as we hit camp later in the week and the Longhorns report and get after it, it's going to be between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. What do you believe? How do you see that quarterback battle shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Sark will be making a decision based on the fact that, you know, there's a good chance that Casey Thompson, I believe, would transfer if he's not named the starter. And look, I mean, you wouldn't blame him considering the time he's put in to be put in this position to get this opportunity. But if you're Sark, you can't be thinking about that in your decision making. You got to go with the best guy, regardless of what the consequences of that are. You know, it's so interesting to me, the bowl game, because, you know, you see these weird moves at quarterback. Last year, West Virginia replaced Jarrett Dagey, who's their starter, with Austin Kendall, and he played well in a bowl game and came up with a win for West Virginia. You know, and so, you know, and Kendall's a guy that transferred after that and was a transfer from Oklahoma originally, and you know, never really got, you know, an opportunity because Dagey was so much better. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, how much stock should we be putting into a bowl win, considering you've seen guys go in there and play well, but then be sort of replaced after that, and example of it. So, you know, look, Casey, I think Casey's your guy with experience. He can probably handle this offense better. I think Hudson Carr is clearly the guy with more upside. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Casey Thompson started the year as a starter, because it seems like the safer move for a first-year head coach with the new offense and just needs a guy to understand, you know, where the pieces need to be, sort of thing. And you know, maybe eventually he's replaced by Card if he's not up to the task. But, you know, I just believe in the schematics of this offense. I believe in Sark. So, you know, I obviously quarterback is so important, but you just feel like the throws are going to be there. You know what I mean? Like the matchups are going to be there. It's like, okay, get the ball to this guy in this play. And there's, you know, I think Xavier Worthy is a guy that can really emerge. Jordan Whittington, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Like, this is a very underrated receiving core, I think, and especially given, you know, again, this is not an offense that's going to be 100 plays deep. It's 6 or 7 plays that you're running out of various formations and various personnel packages. So, you know, I'm just excited to see what this offense looks like, because I just think it's going to be a sum of the parts sort of offense.
Yeah, with playmakers. Ari Temkin is with us, talking Longhorns at number 18 in our Horn Top 20 Countdown, also a little Big 12 chatter. He is the host of SiriusXM College's Big 12 Radio. You hear him there. Also, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Ari, you mentioned a couple of them, but I was going to ask you if there's a player that you think is a surprise player, guy that we're not talking about right now, that boy, by midseason to the end of the season, if indeed you're prophetic and the Longhorns finish second in the Big 12 that everyone's talking about by season's end, is there a player that maybe we're sleeping on this Longhorn roster for you?
Well, you know, Jordan Whittington signed an NIL deal with Orange Bloods and is doing content with us. And he mentioned, I mean, as one of the surprise guys, he said, Xavier Worthy. He mentioned him by name and said, look, this is a guy that is young and inexperienced, but he's so smart. He understands, you know, so much about the position. And obviously, you know, Whittington's a guy that's sort of a wide receiver transfer. Obviously, a guy that was just a stud running back, stud do everything at Cuero. So, you know, for this guy that has the experience of switching positions, that understands offensive football like Whittington, to call out Worthy a freshman, you know, I think that just speaks to his upside and ability. So, I mean, I'll defer to a guy that's there, you know, that's working with him, that's worked with him through spring, and now, you know, heading into fall camp, these guys are getting together and working together at 7-on-7 and lead up to fall camp starting. So, you know, he says he likes what he sees from this guy, and that so much of that is just due to the mental side of it, which I think that's a great, you know, it's just a great attribute. It's a great thing to point out. You know, the talent's there. We knew that. But it's so much of it's between the ears, E, and if he's got it, then this guy's going to be special.
Well, and you can't coach speed, right? That's the number one thing you hear about Xavier Worthy. In addition to his maturity, he's a true freshman who had been committed to Michigan when Steve Sarkisian got the Texas job, but then flipped. He's from California. But a speedster, you know, 10-3 track speed. But you're hearing that from a lot of the guys who have seen him during the summertime. So absolutely a great name. And Texas needs a jolt of speed, I think, on their offense to go with what they do with Bijan Robinson and Jordan Whittington. Ari, real quick, put on your Cowboys hat just for a second from the fan radio in Dallas. And the Cowboys, they'll play tomorrow night. It's the Hall of Fame game. Do we expect to see anybody? And what's your thought on Dak Prescott on the shoulder? Is there anything to be concerned about there for you?
No, not particularly. I mean, look, anytime you've got a guy that's dealing with any kind of injury, especially a guy coming off an injury, there are concerns. But, you know, I guess I'm more concerned about the shoulder than I would be the ankle, which I suppose is good news. I just, you know, if I'm the Cowboys, I just don't see any upside to playing Dak at any point in this preseason. I know that that's going to be a big topic tomorrow on the pregame show, you know, is should they play him at all? I know Brian Broaddus believes that they should at least in one game just to kind of get him reacclimated after not playing in some of the games last year. But, you know, I know how to quantify injuries. I just don't know how to quantify, well, what it means to get that return in a preseason game. You know what I mean? Like I know if he plays in a preseason game, there's a greater than 0% chance that he gets injured. I don't know if he plays in a preseason game though, what percentage chance, you know, he plays better in the regular season. I just don't know how to quantify it. So I don't, for me, there's just too much to lose. And it's not a fear of injury. It's just more of like the reality of the preseason. So, look, I think we will see, you know, I don't think we're going to see Amari Cooper or DeMarcus Lawrence, but I do think we'll see, you know, some of these young corners that they've drafted. I think we'll see, you know, some of these young defensive players that they've drafted. You know, so I think there's reason to watch, certainly. And then, of course, you know, former Big 12 star Mason Rudolph is starting for the Steelers. So that should be fun.
There you go. Preseason football. You can't beat it. It's fantastic, Ari. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And for putting a spotlight on number 18 team in our countdown, the Texas Longhorns. Thanks for your work, and we'll chat down the road, right?
Be well, E. Take care, brother.
All right, there's Ari Temkin doing a lot. Sirius XM, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. You now contribute to orangebloods.com as well with their video content and all that they do over at that great website. So good stuff right there. We'll ask you that question. A sleeper player. Xavier Worthy is the name we keep hearing. You know, it's the old Coach Darryl Royal adage, you know, he ain't done it yet, right? I mean, it's all hype and it's all the opportunity is there. But Xavier Worthy, a name we keep hearing from folks, which is interesting to me, that he could be a guy that steps in and steps up quick. We'll talk more with you about the Longhorns at number 18. We'll also reset the top stories of the morning. It's a busy Wednesday here on B&E, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn, B&E with you, taking you and dragging you up over the hump of a busy week. We got football on the brain with the Longhorns at number 18 in the top 20 countdown. Do they belong in the top 20 is a fair question. Ari Temkin believes so, as them as the second place team in the Big 12 when it's all said and done. If that is indeed true, they will be a top 20 team this year. But it's all fun, speculative. It's preseason. We're 31 days out to the opener with Louisiana. Always good to debate. We've also got the Olympics going on. And, boy, good day for Team USA yesterday over in Tokyo. The women's basketball team won again. They've won like 53 straight games in international competition. They're on their way to another gold medal, potentially. Women's volleyball also into the semifinals. Baseball. USA baseball rolling through as well. Track and field continues to be really good. U.S. medal count now stands at 76. And Isaiah Collier, our producer here, as Bucky Godbolt takes the rest of the week off. He's headed to Pennsylvania. But, Zay, I keep turning on the Olympics. And I will say one of the cool features I have DirecTV. So if I go to channel 205, which is just below ESPN at 206, it's a sports mix channel. So I get like four different screens, and it's all the Olympic coverage that they have. So I can see, I can pick something. There's like four or five different things happening at one time. They got the NBC, they got the MSNB, whatever, wherever they're covering the Olympics. And I look on there yesterday, and I keep doing this, and I keep seeing sports that I did not know were Olympic sports. And yesterday was the latest with rock climbing. Did you know rock climbing is an Olympic sport?
Yeah. I made a promo out of that for you and Bucky last year. That's the only reason why I remember, but I haven't seen it yet.
So I'm watching this yesterday, and it's completely compelling. Like, I didn't think I'd ever get into... But I mean, you can see where they're going, and they got to find ways to climb these. It's unbelievable. I was kind of glued to it. Kind of glued to it for a little while yesterday. Olympic rock climbing. And I was just reading this story that social media apparently lit up. The ratings are through the roof for the rock climbing. I wasn't the only one that was kind of stuck to it. It's one of these. I mean, they're just like problem solvers. They got to figure out how they're going to get where they are, from where they are to how. I don't even know all the rules. I don't even know how it all works. But rock climbing is a new Olympic sport. Had no idea. I've also seen, you ever seen the equestrian events today with the horses that can dance? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like Bruce Springsteen's daughter tried to qualify for this. She's an equestrian performer or whatever, equestrious. I don't even know what the word is. The riders are one thing, but they have the event where the horse actually can hear the music and is dancing. Like dancing, I don't even know what the name of that is, but there are horses dancing to the beat. It's pretty unbelievable. I love horses, by the way, but so yeah, sports you didn't think were Olympic events that are actually Olympic events, including rock climbing and equestrian events that I had no idea existed, in addition to the normal track and field and everything else we're used to at the Olympics. So there you go. So Olympics continue. We still have another 10 days or so of Olympic coverage, including Team USA basketball on the men's and women's side, trying to get there. And good stuff. Good stuff right there from the Olympics. Also trying to figure out the NBA free agent frenzy. Oh, this is called, somebody said dressage. Dressage. That's when the horse dances or does moves.
Prances around?
No, you got to watch this. I'm going to send you something, too, because I found a video of Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart. Watching Olympic events and talking about it. And one of them was this horse dancing. And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. But, something about it is just compelling, man. It's all, you kind of wonder, is that a sport? Is that actually, something you would call a sport? But it is. And does the horse get a medal too? The rider is the contestant. And then the person trying to win the medal. But the horse is a big part of this thing here, isn't it?
Unlimited carrots, some sugar, something, whatever you give horses.
Horses like carrots. Horses like apples. Horses like apples.
They like apples?
Love apples. They'll eat apples for sure. So I don't know. But dressage, somebody told us. We appreciate that. But cool stuff from the Olympics and Team USA doing well. 76 total medals now. We're also talking college football, pro football, Cowboys tomorrow night. Will be interesting. I don't think Dak Prescott sees the field in this game tomorrow night, right? I mean, Ari just talked about it, and they've already had some preliminary conversations about Ari, in addition to his work at SiriusXM, works for The Fan Radio in Dallas for Cowboys coverage, and already talking about what they're going to talk about in the pregame. Dak Prescott has already got a little sore shoulder. He admitted he probably overdid it a little bit early in camp and, a little bit overexcited to be back on the field and, kind of got the early camp, fatigue, I think, in his arm more than anything else, but no reason to. It's a high school football field. It's the Steelers. It's the Cowboys. But they need him more a month from now when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I doubt you see him. But it will be interesting to see the early stages of this Cowboys defense, because that's going to tell the tale of the Cowboys in 2021. is can they stop somebody on the defensive side of the ball? I know they like the early returns from Dan Quinn, their new defensive coordinator. Some of the new pieces, Micah Parsons coming in from Penn State is their top pick, has made some impact. So, but I don't know if you see any of them. I mean, I think you'll see the back end of the 90-man roster that is in camp right now, as the Cowboys will be the featured attraction along with the Steelers tomorrow night at the Hall of Fame game. Hey, coming back, we'll reset those headlines, including the raucous scene in L.A. last night. Dodgers and Astros, biggest crowd for a baseball game this season so far, live crowd. And, boy, they were all out to vilify the Astros, but the Astros got the win. We'll get you details on that. Also, more on the NBA free agent frenzy. Spurs, who's left? We'll run through that for you Spurs fans out there as the exodus continues. All things we're talking about on this Wednesday. Longhorn sitting at number 18 in the Horn Top 20 countdown as we count them all the way down to number one. B&E with you. We are live. We are local. We are digital. We're live all day, every day on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And we're always at your smart speaker on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.